Cinema, music, and movie fans. This is Sutton, your host on Sutton on Cinema and Sound. And I'm joined here today by my father.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike here.
So today we are reviewing one of my current obsessions. This is an artist known as Jack Stauber. And I think I use the word artist that can kind of apply to a lot of, like a lot of terms. For one thing, what we're doing differently in this review is that we are reviewing both an album, one of his albums, and then also a short film that he did called Jack Stauber's Opal. I originally thought of just doing reviewing his album, but then I was reading an interview where he was asked if he enjoyed working on audio or video more, and then audio being music and then video being like his YouTube videos or short films, and then he said that he really values both equally. And I thought to really kind of get a feel for who this guy was, it was kind of essential that we like took a dive into both what he is special at. So I explained this to you, but this is the third album that he did. The reason why I chose this album called Pop Food, even though it is his third one, is because this was really his breakout album, even though it was basically kind of a sleeper hit. And some of the songs on it actually went viral about a year after it was released. The first two albums, while both good, they're more acoustic-based, and Jack Stauber really became popular for his more synth-based music, which really grows into prominence on this album. And something that I revealed to you after listening, because I didn't want you to become to like be biased or anything, was that Jack was actually 20 years old when he wrote and made this album. And yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even realize that until like after listening to his music for a while. And I'm sure that's something that a lot of other fans of his don't fully realize.
It's quite an accomplishment to have achieved this during his college years.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he must have had a really hectic schedule. He studied at the University of University of Pittsburgh. And in an interview, he said how he would usually wake up at like 4 or 5 a.m. like each morning, so that he would have time to work on music and these videos before his classes started. And the work for sure like paid off. This is, as I mentioned, this is a very synth-based album, so I'm fairly sure that he really plays every instrument on it, which would be basically keyboard, guitar, and then I think drums and everything else was probably programmed into his computer. And so this is his third album that, you know, indicates that he was younger when he did his first two albums, and he actually made his first album when he was 16 years old, so in high school. And I've listened to that album, and it's, I think for sure the production isn't quite as clean, but it's still quite an accomplishment, for especially given his age. What do you think of this album?
You know, I think the song, it's he's got a very interesting style, and there's a lot more than meets the eye. You hear the songs and they sound kind of upbeat and pop, but if you listen to the lyrics, there are a lot of dark undertones underneath. So, for example, there's a song called Bothersome, and it's got lyrics such as horrific and dying, time bomb, die at home, heart ringing out, bothersome. But if you just listen to the melody and the sound of it, it sounds like an upbeat, poppy, kind of happy song.
I agree. That was something that I was hoping you would, I think, really pick up on, even though this was just your first listen. I feel like Jack Stauber, this is, like, his music is something that his lyrics might at first appear kind of, I feel like, playful and nonsensical. In fact, there's, like, a quote he made in an interview that I kind of keep in mind, which is, "I get playful with the words, but they're always chosen very carefully. They all make perfect sense. I wouldn't sing something if it didn't." And actually, I think the first time I really heard this album, I was really familiar with a few of the songs on it, but I think I decided while I was like doing schoolwork to have it playing in the background, because sonically, I think it is a very beautiful album. And it was a good experience, but obviously, if when I like have to when I'm listening to the album like with my full focus, like fully focused, and then also reading the lyrics along, it feels like I'm hearing it for the first time. It is a completely different experience.
It does seem like the kind of album you can listen to time and again and pick up on different things each and every time.
Yeah, and something else is that I feel like unlike a lot of other artists who really tackle serious and dark subjects, because this album, he actually makes it sound like really catchy and very melodic. This is an album that's really tempting. I can totally see my really tempting to, I guess re-listen, and I can totally see myself continuing to listen to this album again and again. And unlike other artists who will make music that's really downbeat and it sounds downbeat, and like I listen to it because it has an like an interesting aura of like philosophy, but it's definitely not something that I feel like I'd be able to listen to just in my spare time. Something that also kind of pops up in this album and also a lot of his videos is this kind of 80s and 90s aesthetic. And that's especially relevant when in all of his videos, it looks like it has like a VHS quality to it. And to achieve this, he makes the video on his computer and then he prints it onto a VHS tape. And then he runs that tape through his TV and then he screen records the TV to like give it the VHS aesthetic. So it actually is what it looks like on a VHS tape. And at some point, like high quality versions of all these music videos existed on his computer. And I think given his age, it's also really interesting because he was born in 1996. So he would have like kind of grown up just as like VHS tapes were really phasing out and then being replaced by DVDs. So that's interesting how he like still manages to really feel nostalgic about the 90s and even the 80s and a generation that like he was like at least very young when I guess his generation was exiting that era. I think one thing that I guess one quirk about the music too is that it is kind of hard to you mentioned how it is actually kind of hard to understand what he's singing a lot of times. Even with the lyrics, sometimes it is hard, you can kind of get lost and not entirely sure what stanza he's on. I feel like some songs like My Plea and I Understand, it's very clear, I think, like melodically, and then also like he sings it very distinctly, but then there were for sure some songs like Buttercup and I Love You, Vern Troyer, where he really kind of tightens his mouth, I feel purposely. And I think, as I mentioned, the first time I heard a lot of these songs was without the lyrics. And for sure, even though I didn't understand a single word he was saying, it's on songs like Buttercup, I really enjoyed how it sounded sonically and like the very, I guess, synth pop. I really enjoyed, I guess, the synth pop genre, which I was introduced to.
There are also a number of songs where there's either talking or lyrics in advance of the song itself. And it almost sounds a little bit Yoko Ono-ish at the beginning before it gets into the actual song itself and the lyrics.
Yeah, I feel as though on songs like Buttercup, where he kind of tightens his mouth, it feels like. Or to me, I felt that I was still able to appreciate it because it was really like he was using his voice as an instrument. He really adjusted it to fit the aesthetics of the songs that he was singing. Yeah, you also mentioned how there was talking. I kind of liked those vibes. It really felt like kind of like the mishmash of like kind of like given audio of like a synth music before finally the clarity when the actual verses start. What's also, I think, also probably the most prominent use of this is at the beginning of song number three, I Love You, Vern Troyer, which he uses a sample from one of Vern Troyer's interviews, where he says something like, I don't know if you ever get used to it, though, because he's funny and you never know what he's gonna do. And I actually found that interview, and he's referring to Mike Myers and being in another Austin Powers film, and how he don't really get used to being in a Mike Myers movie because you never know what he's gonna do.
You almost feel in some of these intros to the songs that you're in the room, kind of eavesdropping on.
I agree, and I think probably one of my favorite moments that he does that is with the final song, Candy Eyes, which is where he says, like, he actually whispers this, or something like, "All right, I'm gonna do this real quickly because I think you're sleeping." And it is, I think, one of the most, it actually immediately, it's the only song I can think of that is truly cheerful in both, like, the lyrics and also melodically. Now that we're discussing the individual tracks, I think the most prominent one on this is the first song, Buttercup, because this really went viral on the internet, maybe a year after the album was released. Like, on places like TikTok, I think most prominently. And then there's also the second song, Oklahoma, spelled OOH, and then the word Oklahoma. It's a kind of a strange way how that became viral, because there's a trend on TikTok called ghost photo shoot, which is where people will take photos of themselves wearing, like, ghost costumes, and then they have the music as back, like, the music playing in the background. I don't really have anything to say about that trend.
Like many TikTok trends, perhaps not the most, maybe a little bit ill-advised.
Yeah. It's, I
Walking
think.
through cities in white sheets, can get you into trouble.
Yeah. It's strange how the internet works, and just how this song became so associated with that trend. But hey, it helped Jack's Jabber to rise, and the song to rise in popularity. And even though Buttercup is, I think, the most, for sure, Jack's most famous song, I think Oklahoma might actually be my favorite song on this album. I think it's really interesting, both sonically and also especially lyrically, how it's basically the scenario where like, so the narrator sees this girl, or I assume a girl, crying at a party. So then they try to comfort them, but then the more that she like the more fears that she tells him, or the more she tells him about what it is that's bothering her, and the more she shares her fears with him, the more that his health deteriorates. Like, as he says, "I get a little gray hair for every scary share." And yeah, it's just a really interesting scenario. Obviously, like, the imagery is abstract, and of course is very fictional, but it's definitely, I think, an allegory for actually, like, what it's actually like to try and support someone who doesn't really feels on their own and doesn't get much support from anyone else. And he mentioned how the lyrics are kind of deceptively dark and allegorical. I also feel that they are, in general. I think Jack's Jobber is a very strong writer of lyrics, because I feel like that you're really interested in, I guess, reading ahead what else he's gonna throw at you with these, and what direction will take the song in. Like, in I Understand, like, the final lyric is, "But in the pod I met your God, in the part I understand." And so, yeah, I can't really explain it, but something about that part just really seemed, I guess, I just kind of rose to, like, real prominence. Do you feel that you had you what tracks do you feel were standouts for you?
Well, you certainly mentioned that the most popular were Buttercup and Oklahoma. I'm not quite sure I understood Buttercup. The lyrics were a little bit hard for me to fathom. There were a few songs that had some lyrically and melodically beautiful moments, like Safe Socks and My Plea had some beautiful sounds within them. But overall, strong album, very interesting lyricist, and very interesting approach that he has in both the music and the video that we saw.
Yeah, the you brought up the lyrics of Buttercup. I also, as I mentioned the first time I heard that, I thought it was a great song sonically, and looking at the lyrics, it's interesting imagery. I do not understand any of it though. But then the more I've heard the song, because it is, again, like very very vibrant sonically. This is probably one of his songs I've heard the most often. The more I felt, I kind of understood the lyrics. Like it starts with, "Forget it, I'll give it some time. I'm locked up on the button," and I think I understand that I'm locked up on the button. It means that maybe he has like his finger locked on it, but he can't find himself able to push it. He's really like being faced with a difficult decision. Most people say that Buttercup is basically, they interpret it as a love song, but I think I've actually come to understand it as maybe about an abusive relationship, because the song is called Buttercup, which is a beautiful flower, but of course it is a poisonous one. And then you mentioned how there were like, sometimes there would be breaks where like in between the lyrics or before verses started, there would be like more like speaking voices or like interjections, and in this song there were like some interjections like "ow" and then "that hurt" during I think the final verse. So yeah, it's really interesting how these all come together. Also interesting lyrically is the fourth song, "Koi Boy," which is actually the only song that has a music video, even though it's not definitely not the most one of the most popular ones on here. It's actually, I feel like the fan reception of the song is kind of mixed, because for sure it is the most, I think, kind of toned down song on the album, on what is an otherwise very, I think, sonically vibrant album. It's an album that also consists of like a mishmash of different sounds, and this has more of a laid back guitar vibe. I actually really like Koi Boy though. I think it comes right after I Love You Vern Troyer, which is probably the most like frantic song and fast paced one. I think it's a really good, I think, refresher, kind of like taking a mint after a meal to really clear all those flavors out. And what's really interesting is that Koi Boy, the title Koi is spelled K-O-Y, like the fish. But then in the official lyrics, it's spelled K-O-Y. So it really looks like it rhymes with the word boy. And I think, I only realized this recently when I actually started looking at the official lyrics, but I realized that the reason why he does that is because it's probably like it's supposed to be a pun for koi as in C-O-Y. So kind of like a shy boy. And yeah, I would highly suggest if you're going to follow the lyrics, which you probably should given Jack's unique vocal style, I definitely check out his lyrics on Bandcamp, which is a music streaming service, because Bandcamp is the only website I know that really has his official lyrics, because it gives its artists the option to I think personally type in the lyrics. And then I think all other sources that I've checked spell Koi correctly, which is incorrect. And what Jack also does in his lyrics is that he capitalizes certain words to really give them more prominence. Like when he mentioned Justin Bother, somehow horrific and dying, even though that's on the same line, both dying is also capitalized in addition to horrific. So yeah, please just definitely check out the lyrics on Bandcamp, even if you are listening to it on a different streaming site like Spotify. I also really like My Plea, which I think might be the most humorous song on the album, even though it may not be as humorous as one would expect. It's about someone who gets mugged, and then they call, I think, their mom or girlfriend to ask for money so that they can spend it on candy bars. But it's, I think, definitely implied that he doesn't actually plan to spend it on candy bars, because even like I thought that was a bit like maybe a little too far-fetched. And yeah, it is a very popular interpretation that he's actually spending that money on alcohol and drugs, possibly because he's just really, I think, either because he's like, that's just what you do when you're down and after you get mugged, or maybe the mugging is like just another, I think, really kind of childish way to really get your money off of other people.
Well, he does have the lyrics, think we need a little rewind, drop out and learn to bartend, drink and drink and drink and drink and drink till I say when. And then also this nostalgia for the 80s. And then he says, call up your mom on the payphone.
Yeah.
Which I don't think were very widespread around 2017 when he recorded this. So you've got the elements of something else kind of, you know, running underneath the song. And you've also got that nostalgia for the 80s in that time frame.
For sure. Again, really interesting since he can actually, he grew up well past the 80s. So it's interesting how he still has like a nostalgia for that. Another song that I briefly talked about, but I should bring up again for a different reason, is the third one, I Love You, Vern Troyer. I will admit that it's probably one of my least favorite songs on the album, because I feel that it is perhaps a little, it's kind of hard for me to really place the tone for it. I can't tell if it's being, I think, humorous or, like, trying to be, like, somehow philosophical. It is essentially a love song for, of course, the small miniature actor Vern Troyer. There are odd lines, so like where he calls him a harmony destroyer, and like he and wish on a genie, ha ha ha, I want wishes too. But I mean, Vern Troyer himself must have been flattered or humored, or because there's actually a photo of him holding a pop food CD, and then he also signed it with Jackie Complete Me, Vern Troyer. And 15 days after Jack Stauber posted that photo on social media, Vern actually died from a suicide due to alcohol poisoning. So I'm really glad that they got in touch, even if it was near the end of Vern Troyer's life. I think another song that I really like melodically is I Understand. It's interesting because it only has two verses, but it's actually the longest song on the album. It's like about 5.5 minutes long. The first verse, he sings through like within the first minute or so, and then he also sings the second one. And then at this point, you probably expect it to like basically be over and then move on to the next song, but then it goes into kind of a long instrumentation, and then he keeps reverting between the instrumentation and then back to the second and final verse. And even though I feel that probably the one problem I have with the song is that it is a little too long, I feel that it is, each time that he goes back to the second verse, he adds more melodic flourishes to it. And he also, you really get a sense, or at least I really get a sense that somehow it holds like an even greater special meaning to him. And then there's, of course, I think, the final track, Kangy Eyes, which, yeah, honestly, at least off the top of my head, is the only one that I feel like is where like the cheerful lyrics really match the cheerful melody, and I think it is really perfect album closer. I think when I like really listened to this album for the first time or first two times, I kind of had the perception that it might be front loaded, which is where an album will basically take its most popular songs, or like its best tracks, and then put them at the front of the album to like make you to kind of deceive you into thinking that like the whole album would be like that and to buy the album. But as I and the reason why I thought that was because the first two the most popular songs, Buttercup, and then the only single from the album, Oklahoma, was song number two. And even though this might still be my favorite songs on the album, I think a lot of the other songs have really rose to prominence with me, like Bothersome, I Understand, and My Plea, both sonically and then also lyrically, as I've really grown to understand them more and more. So together, I really think that this is really a great album. I think for sure it might be one of my favorite, I guess, modern albums. Because I listen to either like really old progressive rock or modern indie slash alt music, just anything that really tries to be experimental like this, which whereas like the more mainstream pop that'll play on radios tends to, I think, I feel stick more safe and be about like straightforward relationships and romance. I can definitely see myself returning to this album in the future to really, I think, just because it's so beautiful melodically and sonically, and also because so that I can really understand the lyrics more. And I'm glad that to hear that. I feel that you kind of that you understood like what was happening where the lyrics were a lot darker than I feel the melodies and how the all to how the songs all together sound. Because I feel that this I was kind of pulling a fast one with like having something that you would usually have that you might usually have to listen several times to, I feel fully get.
Yeah, and I must confess, I had one listen to, of this album, so I've not picked up on a lot of the things that I'm sure you have. But it's a fun sound to listen to. Musically, it's very enjoyable, and there's a lot there to think about.
Very impressive for probably a junior, a college junior who majored in marketing.
Well, this was released almost precisely 5 years ago. And when he was 20 years old in college, what has he done since?
Well, he put out a fourth album, and then he kept he this was actually before I showed you some of like the really quirky fun videos that he did and became very popular for with his YouTube channel. He's done both he did another kind of full serious album like this, and then he did what he called Micro Pops, one of which I showed you, which he keeps very distinct from these and that. They're like these kind of short 30-second long songs that are more kind of cutesy, at least from what I've heard. So it's interesting how I feel like he's basically a jack of all trades in both kind of in terms of music and then also outside of music. Because in the music he has these songs like these where I feel like the songs on this one are really diverse, like Koi Boy, which is I think a lot slower, more guitar driven, and then of course how he's definitely more influenced by 80s and 90s nostalgia and synth beats. A great melodist and also a great lyricist. And then of course he makes songs like the Micro Pops, which are just focused on sonics and then quirky lyrics. And then when you don't take music into account, he also does 2D animation, 3D animation, and then claymation, which all really culminates into the movie, the short film we watched, which is called Jackstabber's Opal. Jackstabber's Opal was released actually on midnight on Halloween in 2020. And I definitely feel that is really the culmination of all that he learned up to that point. It features some songs on it, and it really has a great mix of live action, 2D animation, well, cl mostly claymation, and also 3D animation. What do you think of Jack's Jobber's Opal?
I thought Opal was really a great little film. Yeah, if you want to get into the basic story, Opal is a girl that lives in a white home, and across the street is a home that is black in color, and she's told to stay away from that house. It's scary and dangerous. She hears cries from the upper window, and one night she decides to go over to that house and see what's going on when she hears those cries. And she enters the house, finds that it's a dark, kind of dangerous, kind of scary home with three people. She makes her way up to the room of the little girl that lives in that house by the name of Claire, and then she finds out that she actually is Claire. That's really the house where she lives. The name Opal, and the family that she thought she was a part of, when you look out from Claire's window, you see a billboard for a place called Opal's Burgers with a little girl with a burger. So that's her kind of dream world that she had really been inhabiting to escape from that dark house that she had thought that she was going to save the girl from the cries, but it turned out the cries were from herself.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story and a really ambitious film that Jack, I think, single-handedly made, although it was distributed by Adult Swim, so they may have like provided him with equipment and budget, and then helped to, and of course helped to distribute the film. Yeah, it's a really great twist at the end when she looks. Because in the house she encounters these really strange people. There is a grandfather, Claire's grandfather, who is he's blind, and he's like addicted to tobacco and smoking, and he watches TV all day, and then he sings a song about wondering why it's so easy to breathe on TV. And I read that one interpretation of that is that it's a pun for. Because when you're on TV, you're on air. Yeah. And then there's the father who is surrounded by mirrors, and then his song he sings about how people turn him down. So then he spends all day like trying to really perfect himself. He surrounds himself by mirrors, and then he's basically extremely narcissistic. And then there's finally the mother who is like a drug addict and alcoholic. All three, it seemed that all three of them basically blamed society and other people for their problems. Like how the mother also like said how she didn't seem very different from her daughter, and like she felt kind of suppressed by the father and the grandfather. But then she turns to drugs and alcohol, and after the reveal is made, when Claire looks out at the sign Opal's Burgers, and then really comes to terms, admitting that she is Claire, and the family in the brown house is her family. It shows how it basically sh it shows Claire's face onto the grandfather's eyes. It shows it onto. One of the mirrors in front of the father rotates, and then it shows Claire on that. And then finally, the mother takes a pill, and then the pill turns into Claire's head. And I will say that this film was something that I had to watch several times before I felt I really understood it. And even now, I'm trying to still understand some parts, but I think that really showed how, like, basically how the family. Like uses Claire, how the grandfather uses Claire for his eyes because he's blind, and he tells her to basically fetch his cigarettes for him. There's the father who is narcissistic, and he And he basically criticizes Claire in order to make himself, in order to feel better about himself. And then finally, there's the mother who feels that she, in her song Virtuous Cycle, how she basically relies on Claire emotionally as opposed to the other way around. And I feel kind of like the music within Pop Food, especially with the beginning of the film, Jack's Job was Opal. You might think it's going to be a kind of like fun, cheerful film with like the claymation heads and with Claire, with Opal's family singing to her about how they see her, and like, and she dances on the table to their merry delight. But instead, the film is actually rated TV MA for mature audiences. The reason why that is because it tackles a lot of serious subjects like alcoholism, drugs, yeah, smoking, and just how Claire has to put up with this abusive family. And she basically deals with it by taking inspiration from the sign that's in front of the house, and then she fantasizes how that is her, how that is her real family, and her name is Opal from the place it's advertising Opal Burgers. And it is a really well done short film. I think really beyond what I can really describe. I feel that it's something that really has to be seen to be believed. Jack Stauber really takes his, the claymation of the heads is really smooth, and it's really interesting how like the claymation heads are superimposed upon live action bodies. And then the songs themselves that each member of Claire's real family sings, those are done in 3D animation. It's a really interesting combustion of all of Jack Stauber's talents, and I thought the songs in it also demonstrates how he's a jack of all trades and songs. They're basically the type of songs that will be inside a musical because they're meant to really characterize the characters who are singing them. And each member of Opal's of Claire's family gets really, even though they have maybe like 2 or 3 minutes spent on them because this is a 12-minute short film, they're given some really great characterization, and you really get a sense for who they are, what their problems are, how like how kind of neglectful they are of Claire, and they really kind of view her as kind of a means for furthering their own problems. And another interesting thing about this short film is that Jack voice acts all the characters. And that's something that he usually does on his YouTube channel as well. And I will say that I think, yeah, his voice acting for sure works, although it really didn't, it's not like whether how good his voice acting is really really puts it, this film on the line, because I feel like this film is a really great example of show and not tell storytelling. The reveal is really made, it's all made visually, which I think could have, is why it might lead to maybe confusion from some as to what it's actually revealing and what the twist is at the end. And I think even if you didn't know that he was voice acting all the characters, you really wouldn't give it a second thought. You wouldn't think, oh, why is this, dude voice acting the woman? It's done very naturally, and he has a really great vocal range. And then you also asked what else he's done recently, and honestly, since releasing Opal, he's kind of been laying low for a while. He's 25 years old right now. It's been like over a year since Opal came out, and then he released a he finally released a 30-second video on YouTube 4 months ago, and people were really happy that he came back. And then that was 4 months ago, and he kind of slipped back into the crevices of mystery that he came from. So yeah, it's really, really
interesting. He's going to be somebody interesting to follow and see what he does.
Yeah, it's interesting how active he was able to be during during college years. And that's why I'm sure that a lot of people don't even suspect that a lot of his popular work was made while he was in college. And yeah, who knows what he's really been, you know, being up to. I'm really interested to see what, you know, what comes next from him.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me. I'm glad that I introduced you to something that that's kind of a niche and you might have been turned off by, but you at least kind of understood what the hype about, like, all of what this guy's work is.
It was my pleasure, and thank you for expanding my horizons once again.
All right. Well, that was this episode, and I'll see you next time on Such a Not Cinema and Sound.